Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mont, staff writer for Compliance Week. California's state legislature recently passed SB 826, a bill mandating that major companies in the state put female directors on their boards. Once signed by Governor Jerry Brown, the bill will require that by the end of 2019, each publicly traded company in California must include one woman. Two women by the end of the year 2021. We spoke to Lillian Hsu, a partner at Hogan Lovells and a member of the firm's public company advisory practice, for her take on the state legislation. We asked Hsu to introduce herself and to describe her role within the firm.
I'm a member of the public company advisory practice here at Hogan Lovells. I'm based in our New York office. I focus on counseling public companies on legal and compliance issues, in particular corporate governance, executive compensation, compliance with federal securities laws, and listing requirements. I also work with public companies on private and public securities offerings, both private placements, primary, secondary offerings, registered public offerings, tender offers, spinoffs, public company M&A transactions. So I do a myriad of work, but focus mostly on representing public companies. Senate Bill 826 requires companies, public companies, either incorporated in California or whose principal executive officers are located in California, to have a minimum of one female director on its board of directors at the close of calendar year 2019, so at the end of next year. No later than the close of calendar year 2021, these same corporations will be required to have a minimum of two female directors if it has five directors, or three female directors if it has six or more directors. This bill also would include a disclosure piece that requires the Secretary of State of California to publish a report and to post on the internet metrics, including the number of corporations in compliance with these provisions. And finally, the bill imposes financial penalties on corporations that are not in compliance. Specifically, the penalty will be $100,000 for the first violation and $300,000 for a second or subsequent violation. So what's important about this bill is that it really does seem to have a potential for opening up hundreds of board seats for women. The statistics cited in the bill itself indicated that in the Russell 3000, 117 companies based in California had no women directors serving on the board, and nearly half of the most recent 75 largest IPOs went public with no women on their boards. So if these boards were required to add at least two female directors by the end of calendar year 2021, it could really dramatically increase the number of female board members.
What does this legislation mean for the larger gender diversity equality movement that is afoot globally?
Well, it's tough to say because this is kind of a different animal. California is now mandating a specific quota for female directors, which is an unusual move in the United States. In Europe, it's much more common. So, for example, we have Norway that has a law that requires 40% of corporate board seats to be held by women. And Germany has a 30% requirement. And then other countries like Spain, France, and Italy have similar quotas for public companies. But in the United States, there's no federal requirement for female representation on the board. And all other prior legislation was in the form of a non-binding resolution. So, California actually came out with a non-binding resolution in 2013. Where they were urging all public companies in California to increase the number of women on their boards by the end of calendar year 2016. And, now they've kind of stepped it up. When California introduced and passed the non-binding resolution, five other states kind of followed suit. So Illinois, Massachusetts, Colorado, Ohio, and Pennsylvania all passed similar non-binding resolutions. My concern is whether or not these states will follow California to require a specific quota. I really, I'm not sure that they would. Because I think, you know, as well-meaning as the California bill is, there are plenty of critics. Some of them are arguing that this bill discriminates against men serving on the boards, which, you know, to be clear, the bill specifically says that corporations may increase the number of directors on its board to add a female director rather than replacing a male director with a female director. So, but other, you know, critics are pointing out that because the bill impacts corporations not just incorporating to California, but also those that are headquartered in California, that, you know, California here is overreaching because it conflicts with corporate law, which generally states that the internal affairs of a corporation should be governed by the state of incorporation. So setting aside, you know, these legal arguments that, you know, may signal that the bill, even if it is eventually passed, may be challenged in court, I would think that the biggest criticism of this bill is that while, you know, gender diversity is important, there are, you know, diversity, board diversity in general is broader than gender diversity. And so, you know, a lot of current board members are criticizing the bill because they say that, you know, board diversity includes other factors such as ethnicity, race, age, and expertise in addition to gender diversity. And those, all of those factors should be considered by the board when recruiting new directors.
How will this impact California firms? Are some, even facetiously, threatening to move their headquarters?
I'm actually very skeptical about that. I really doubt that California companies will actually move to another state as a result of this bill. There's so many other factors that go into the decision as to where to locate your corporate headquarters that I really don't think that a board diversity mandate would be a deciding factor. You know, for example, we look at Amazon and the huge process they're going through to find a home for their second headquarters. I really don't think that this type of bill would really impact that decision. I will note that we would probably find out this metric in a few years because part of California's bill requires that Secretary of State, that report published by the Secretary of State, to disclose the number of publicly held corporations that moved their U.S. headquarters out of California to another state. So we may find, you know, at least some metrics there. But I think one of the other reasons why I don't think companies will be moving out of California because of this bill is because states aren't the only forces that pressure public companies to look at board diversity. Particularly in the last couple of years, large institutional investors and pension funds have all publicly announced that they support gender diversity on boards. So institutional investors like State Street and BlackRock said they would vote against corporate boards if they don't have female directors. And I know the New York State Pension Fund also had a similar plan to oppose re-elections for directors on boards without female directors. So I think, you know, investors and pension funds have trillions of dollars invested in U.S. public companies. And they've said, you know, at least some of the largest ones have said they'll use their voting power to pressure public companies to address gender diversity in what they consider a meaningful way.
What are the best practices for companies who must abide by this regulation should it be signed into law?
Well, I think, you know, whether you disagree or agree with mandated quotas, I think from a purely quantitative view, I think the California bill will open up hundreds of board seats for women. And this is really the goal of you know, what the international movement really is to give women, especially, you know, first-time female directors, an opportunity to serve on a public company board. And so, you know, I think that's what the driving force is, whether it will stand up in court. The view is we need to give, you know, women an opportunity to be a part of the board. I will say that, you know, many public companies are already looking for female directors. So it's, and it's not necessarily driven by the California bill. But the challenge has always been these boards are strongly, they strongly prefer veteran female directors over first-time directors. I think one of the statistics I've seen is that in 2017, there were 38 women directors who were on at least four boards. And so it's not really a revelation that women who are currently directors frequently get asked to join additional directorships or join additional boards. The challenge here is if, you know, this bill gets passed and there are so many more seats that are opening up to women, I think companies can't go back to the same small pool of veteran female directors, and they may be more willing to consider a first-time director. So I think that is really an important piece here to what the goal of this statute is. If a company has an all-male board, whether or not this bill passes, I think it's still waiting the signature of the governor of California to actually be made into law. But whether or not it passes, I think companies should recruit or should be looking to recruit female directors. Investors, as I mentioned earlier, are already putting pressure on the larger corporations that have all-male boards, and it's only a matter of time for smaller companies to become the targets. So I think, you know, if you don't have female directors on your board, you should start recruiting and recruit early. And if you already have one female director, you should consider adding two or three, because that's really what investors have been pushing for, and that's what this bill would be pushing for.
That's all we have time for in this edition. We've been talking to Lillian Su, a partner at law firm Hogan Lovells, about potential new board diversity requirements in California. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. Thank you for listening.